So, greetings, friends. Today's talk is the second of a series. I think it's going to be a series of four talks on emptiness, as the Buddha teaches emptiness. And the reason why I say it that way is that there's a lot of misunderstandings in modern Buddhism about the use of emptiness, and most of them contradict what the Buddha meant by emptiness. So, what he was referring to was that we should be empty of the problem of ignorance. The Buddha awakened to the understanding that it was ignorance of Four Noble Truths that led to all manner of suffering. That's why he taught Four Noble Truths, and everything he taught for his entire teaching career was in the context of Four Noble Truths. When he refers to emptiness, it's in that context. When he refers to the five clinging aggregates as the personal experience of suffering, he teaches that each one of those aggregates is empty. So this is this is contradicted by the modern applications of emptiness as some mystical void that we should hope to attain as an awakened state, an environment of awakening. There's also some similarities to other misunderstandings, such as nothingness, and that there's no such thing as anything, which is really. So the whole point of emptiness is that we should be empty of the causes of suffering. The Buddha, his entire teachings was based on understanding the nature of suffering. I'll turn that phone off. So let me read one sutta here. Last week I talked about the Fena Sutta. These are all listed on the website, the talks, and on my podcast. And today's talk is on the Kula Sanada Sutta, the Lesser Discourse on Emptiness. The Buddha was at Savatthi on the Eastern Monastery, a local palace. The Buddha's chief attendant and his cousin, Ananda, returning from seclusion, asked the Buddha, "On one occasion I heard you say, 'I now remain fully dwelling in the quality of mind in emptiness.' Did I hear this correctly? Did I learn this correctly? Did I remember this correctly?" The Buddha replied, "Yes, Ananda, you heard that correctly and you learned it correctly and you remembered it correctly. Now as before, I remain fully dwelling in emptiness, just as this place is empty of elephants and cattle," meaning the local environment, "empty of elephants and cattle, and empty of gold or silver, empty of assemblies of women and men. There is only this non-emptiness in this community of monks." It's an interesting line. "Even so, Ananda, when not distracted by the perception of the village, not distracted by the perception of a human being, with meaning someone with self-referential views, there is only mindfulness of wilderness with no distractions as to what is not present. This means there is no discursive or speculative thought. The mind takes pleasure and finds satisfaction in being mindful of the wilderness. The mind quiets and delights in the perception of the wilderness." Wilderness in this sense is a metaphor for the pleasant abiding in a non-distracted mind state, free of the distraction for craving for and clinging to mundane objects of life, meaning things in the village, things in the world. And in that he's referring to, when he's referring to it's empty of elephants and cattle and gold and silver and assemblies of women and men, he means that he's not connected to, he's not joined with that aspect of the world that is so prone to suffering. The Buddha continues, "It is then understood that whatever disturbance that would arise from being distracted by the things of the village are no longer present. Whatever disturbance that would arise from being distracted by the perception of a permanent human being are no longer present. There is only the single-minded, well-concentrated, non-distracted state of samadhi. He is focused based on the mindfulness of the wilderness." In other words, he's mindful that he is not joined with or clinging to anything of the world anymore. "It is understood that this perception is empty of the distraction of the things of the village," meaning your immediate surroundings. "There is only this non-emptiness of the perception of wilderness." So this is getting into where he's clarifying emptiness as a quality of mind, but not as a underlying quality of the world around him. There are limitless objects outside of his mind, but he's no longer clinging to them. He's empty of the line here is the empty of disturbance of external self-identification, meaning seeing yourself and everything outside of yourself. What is present as seen as only this. This is the entry into emptiness, which is in accord with reality and is undistorted and pure. The misunderstanding of emptiness has led to this, to a complete misunderstanding of dependent origination, which is mostly completely disregarded and used as a just the words dependent origination or dependent co-arising to justify a doctrinal belief in interdependence and interconnectedness and interbeing, which completely contradicts the Buddha's teachings on emptiness, as it's said right here. What is present is seen as there is only this, meaning it's what's occurring in the world without any attachment to it or any need for it to be any different, including creating a doctrine of interdependence or interconnectedness. This is the entry into emptiness, which is in accord with reality, meaning empty of the need to establish an environment of emptiness or an environment of nothingness where somehow all contradictions in the world, but certainly in the Buddha's Dhamma or the modern Dhamma, is reconciled. The Buddha is simply saying that we should empty ourselves of the basic ignorance that causes us to cling to the world and to crave for the things of the world. That relates directly to the Four Noble Truths. The Buddha in this sutta is describing initial emptiness from the withdrawal of self-identifications with the things of the local environment. The mind is calm and at peace and empty of any disturbance arising from sensory stimulation rooted in wrong view or an ignorant view. And this relates directly to dependent origination. Another way that dependent origination is often misapplied is this phrase, when this is, that is it. And that's extrapolated to mean anything in the world. What the Buddha is teaching when he uses that phrase, when this isn't, that isn't, he's saying when there is no ignorance, then there is no confusion, delusion, and ongoing suffering. And when we are empty of ignorance, we are an awakened human beings. Further, Buddha continues, furthermore, Ananda, as concentration increases within the framework of the Eightfold Path, the perception of wilderness and of human beings falls away. Dispassionate mindfulness of the earth arises, or the mind takes pleasure and finds satisfaction in being mindful of the perception of the earth. So again, this is another contradiction to modern Buddhism that there's nothing or that everything is empty. I'm just going to say that again. The mind takes pleasure and finds satisfaction in being mindful of the perception of the earth. We're aware that there's an actual reality that is earth-based. There's nothing mystical about it. It's the environment that we live in. And it is within this environment that we live in that we recognize that there is no permanent me in it. But what that leads to is the understanding that an awakened human being is always in a constant process of becoming awakened. An ignorant human being, one who has not developed the Eightfold Path and awakened, and is not on the path, is disregarding or hasn't had the good fortune to hear of the Four Noble Truths, is always in a constant process of becoming more ignorant. They are full of ignorance rather than being empty of ignorance. And that's really the best way that you can describe an unawakened human being who is prone to ongoing suffering. They are full of ignorance. An awakened human being is empty of ignorance. That's the most basic description of the Buddha's usage of the word emptiness. The Buddha uses this metaphor. Just as a bull's hide is stretched free of wrinkles with many stakes, and that's referring to mindfulness, free of distraction to the ridges and hollows and rivers and oceans, the trees and stumps and brambles, the craggy irregularities of the earth, non-distraction based solely on the perception of the earth, meaning free of any discriminating thoughts. Whatever is occurring, whatever is arising in this earthly plane is simply as it is. A non-discriminating mind will not create situations that said, this should be different, that should be different, I need more of this, I need less of that, those people shouldn't be this way, the politics shouldn't be that. It is a mind at peace. It is a mind empty of any disturbance. But it doesn't mean that the mind is empty. It means the mind still has a sharp ability to perceive what's occurring and is acutely aware of its surroundings, of the world that it's in, free of any attachments or empty of any attachments. Empty of ignorance, full of wisdom, seeing things clearly. The Buddha finishes that with saying, now there is only the non-emptiness of the perception of the earth. The non-emptiness of the perception of the earth. We're seeing the earthly plane and our existence in it clearly. We're not empty of the earth. We're empty of ignorance in relation to the earth. Or another way of saying that, in relation to the three marks of existence, is we see that clearly. We understand the impermanent nature of all things. We understand anatta, the not-self characteristic. And we understand the resulting dukkha if we are rooted in ignorance of those three things. The Buddha continues, furthermore, Ananda, as concentration increases within the framework of the Eightfold Path, the perception of wilderness and of human beings and of the earth falls away. Dispassionate mindfulness of the dimension of the infinitude of space arises. So now the Buddha is taking our mindfulness from a local awareness to a universal awareness, to all of creation. Dispassionate mindfulness of the dimension of the infinitude of space arises. The mind takes pleasure and finds satisfaction in being mindful of the dimension of the infinitude of space. In other words, the modern applications of emptiness and nothingness would say that even perceiving the reality, the physical reality around us, is somehow a wrong view. In the sutta on emptiness, the Buddha is really teaching just the opposite. To be mindful of all of creation, the entire universe, but empty of any clinging towards it or craving for it, to simply see it as reality. He's getting to the root cause of eye-making and how a self-referential ego self will join with or cling itself to any object, event, or view or idea that occurs. The Buddha continues, the mind quiets and delights in the perception of the dimension of the infinitude of space. It is now understood that whatever disturbances that would arise based on the perception of wilderness or human beings or of the earth do not arise. The mind is empty of these perceptions. In other words, there's no clinging to these things. There is only the non-emptiness of the perception of the dimension of the infinitude of space. The quality of mind is regarded as empty of what is not there, meaning it's empty of disturbance. That's the quality of mind. It's not that we enter some kind of foolish state where we aren't aware of anything. We're empty of any disturbance, and we're aware that our minds are free of that, or empty of disturbance. This is further entry into emptiness, which is in accord with reality and is undistorted and pure. The Buddha continues, furthermore, Ananda, as concentration increases within the framework of the Eightfold Path, the perception of wilderness and of human beings and of the earth and of the dimension of the infinitude of space falls away. Dispassionate mindfulness of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness arises. The mind takes pleasure and finds satisfaction in being mindful of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness. The mind quiets and delights in the perception of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness. It is now understood that whatever disturbances that would arise based on the perception of wilderness or human beings or of the earth or the dimension of the infinitude of space do not arise. The mind is empty of these perceptions. The mind is empty I'm sorry, there is only the non-emptiness of the perception of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness. The mind has expanded to the point of great spaciousness, where it is aware of the infinite application of thought that is no longer rooted in ignorance. The Buddha continues, the quality of mind is regarded as empty of what is not there. We're mindful of the emptiness of ignorance now. This is further entry into emptiness, which is in accord with reality and is undistorted and pure. So again, the Buddha is not talking about going to some or establishing the self in some environment of nothingness. The Buddha is clearly stating a deeper level of the awareness of being empty of ignorance or empty of any disturbance in the mind. Furthermore, Nanda, as concentration increases within the framework of the Eightfold Path, the perception of wilderness and of human being and of earth and of the dimension of the infinitude of space and of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness falls away. This passionate mindfulness of the dimension of nothingness arises. The mind takes pleasure and finds satisfaction in being mindful of the dimension of nothingness. The mind quiets and delights in the perception of the dimension of nothingness. It is now understood that whatever disturbances that would arise based on the perception of wilderness or human beings or of the earth or the dimension of the infinitude of space or the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness do not arise. The mind is empty of these perceptions. There is only the non-emptiness of the perception of the dimension of nothingness. So again, the Buddha is not teaching nothingness as some dimension to aspire to. He's teaching it as a profound understanding of having no disturbance in the mind. The mind is empty of all disturbance. The quality of mind is regarded as empty of what is not there, empty of ignorance. This is further empty into emptiness, which is in accord with reality and is undistorted and is pure. So there's one more section to that, but I want to finish there because just to reiterate that point, that the whole point of the Dhamma is to empty ourselves of the ignorance that leads to our contributions to confusion, deluded thinking, and stress. Remember last week when we talked about the Fena Sutta, how the Fena Sutta refers directly to recognizing the emptiness of the five clinging aggregates, the personal experience of stress. And what this refers to is another important teaching from the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, to recognize that whenever there's a disturbance in our minds, to remind ourselves that the disturbance is arising based on ignorance, lack of understanding of what's occurring, and to remind ourselves that this is not me, this is not mine, this is not who I am. To start withdrawing ourselves from connections and joining with the outside world or exterior world as a way of establishing a self, and to maintain a pure and undistorted view of reality, that there is nothing in the world that a self is attached to, despite common beliefs. So that's the end of today's talk. I'll continue this series next week I think next week is the Mahasanatha Sutta, and then we'll conclude a week later with this series on emptiness. So thank you for joining. It looks like, Nada, that might be you. I hope it is. It is so nice when you can join, and maybe I'll get a Facebook notice or an email from you. But I hope to see you all next week. Peace.
Thank you for listening. Please visit crossrivermeditation.com for guided meditations and instruction and Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos. We rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at crossrivermeditation.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Please feel free to contact me through crossrivermeditation.com. Peace.